welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Sanat Kumara will be joining us today to explain the universal law of instantaneous transmission. The Council of Love tells us that this law creates immediate transformation, and I know that many of us are feeling more than ready to transform our current reality. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code. So when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. At this point, I think we're getting into territory of things that I may never have considered. Certainly other listeners may feel the same way. But I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. As always, good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. Yes, we are getting into some of this unknown territory, and I think it's going to just get bigger and better as we do the rest of the series dealing with dispensation and the law of elimination, completion. So it's getting interesting. And, of course, all of this is, you know, working with the universal laws is the council, and particularly Sanat Kumara, who's the keeper of universal law, teaching us how things work. And so often we pose that question, you know, sometimes quietly and reverently and sometimes screaming at heaven, like, could you please just tell us how it works, you know, because so often we're working on something or we think that we're doing all the steps or we're doing it correctly and with the right intention and action, etc. And it doesn't gel, and that can be frustrating. So when the council's walking us through this process, you know, beginning with the very first law of purpose and the laws of intent, they're really showing us how, as a package, we can access and make not only our lives easier, but really bring forward what we desire to create. And this particular law, instantaneous transmission, is really a biggie, because it is a law of very rapid transformation. It's as easy and as complex as turning on a light switch or turning the car key. Now we don't even have car keys. You know, those new cars, you just push that button and the car starts. But of course, behind that pushing the button and the car starting, there's this whole mechanical electrical system. Right. So that's part of our understanding.
Right. And we have to be in the right place.
We have to be in the right place, and we have to be exceptionally clear about what it is we're asking for and what it is we're bringing forth. When I was doing my meditation today to get ready, Sanat Kumara reminded me, reassured me actually, because we're dealing with big stuff, and it's only going to get bigger, but that in some ways, as we're going through this process, you know, even though we are in our mastery, we still to some extent have our training wheels on. And so he was reassuring me and reassuring all of us, I guess, and he'll probably do that anyway, but that they're keeping an eye on us so that, you know, we don't make any mistakes that are irreversible, let us put it that way.
Yes, exactly. We're in a training period, and it feels to me like these, we're getting into such big concepts before that we haven't really been aware of, it can feel like this is now magic, like we're learning magic, you know, things that we thought were impossible. The law of transmutation is incredible to me, and that we can actually do something like that with our intention and imagination and asking for help and actually have physical manifestation of that request, like show up right away.
Right away. And it's funny, over the last week, you know, as we've also been working with the mother's gift of clarity, I've heard from a number of folks who were really working with that law of transmutation and how rapidly and how clearly it's working. So one of the things I was wondering about today, because yesterday the mother came and spoke to us about our expanded ability to love and to be love. So then I look at this law of instantaneous transmission or transformation, and I think, well, how is that going to influence and expand our ability to participate or to use this law, but also just throughout the universe? How are these two things going to work? So it'll be interesting for us to learn about that. One of the things that when we're working with this law, we're really pulling up our soul design. And I wanted to make sure that everybody who's listening understands that concept of what our soul design is. And one of the ways that the council has explained it to me over the years is that each of us has this unique patterning. And the analogy and the visual that they have used consistently is a snowflake. And we know that each individual snowflake is unique and has a completely individual, unique design. And each of us, in our soul patterning, and that's the theme right now with the new you, is that we are the repatterners of, or the menders of, the human tapestry. So it's not that we're changing our pattern so much as we're making sure that the tears and the rips and the frayed parts are re-sewn and mended. But it's important that each of us, in working with this law, actually with working with ourselves and our journey, really understand that each of us has this unique soul design. And our soul design was anchored in us very permanently and very fully, at least a dozen years ago. So it's not something you need to seek and think, well, first I have to anchor my soul design. It's already there, and it's already been taken care of.
Isn't it the kind of thing where if something about our bodies or what we would like comes into our head and imagination, that it already exists somewhere?
That's it exactly. And it exists not only in the, you know, if we go back to thinking of the law of within and without, it not only exists within us in our soul design, it also exists out there in the universe, and perhaps with our extended self, with our stranger. So that it's already there. You're absolutely right. And most of us haven't, you know, explored fully our soul design because it's massive. And at the same time, it's so intricate. You know, it's this, well, it's like a snowflake. It's beautiful, but it has so many little facets. You know, if you think of those crystals, the water crystals that you look at, in the Emoto, the language of water cards, and how each one is so beautiful but so different. Yeah. And that's what our soul patterns are like, our soul designs are like.
I've also seen it in meditation as like seeing my own light body, and it's almost like those kaleidoscope things with the gems inside that you can like turn moving around and things.
That's a great example.
That's fun.
And
that's,
I know,
really.
One of the ways I think of it too is, you know, sometimes when you wake up, particularly on a summer morning, there's all this dew, and you see one of these fabulous spider webs.
Oh, yes.
And they're just, you know, there's never two alike. And they're just, you think, how did that happen overnight? And they're so beautiful and so fine. You know, the strings or whatever, the filaments are so fine. And so unique.
I have great admiration for spiders.
Oh, yeah, me too. Well, you know, the spiders created the alphabet, Spider Woman, and they bring forth the alphabet and create. So we have a lot of lessons to learn from spider.
Yes, weavers and
creators. As you recently have re-experienced, haven't you?
Oh, my spider bite, yeah, that's right. The swelling is all gone now. Yeah. Thank you, spider.
Yeah, it was just reminding you. Talk to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So when you're working with all the universal laws, but particularly this law of instantaneous transmission, you're really looking and pulling up and working with your soul design. And you may be looking at part of your soul design that you haven't even looked at before. And when we talk about the soul design, we don't just mean our physicality. We mean our mental, emotional, causal, astral,
right.
All of our bodies, all of our feelings, all of our spirit is in this design.
So let me ask you this. This particular law is mostly about personal work, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Good point, Susie.
All right.
Yes, it is about personal work.
Oh.
And it's about physical personal work. And it's about activating our DNA, turning on certain aspects of our DNA. As soon as you began to work with the 13th octave, your 13 strands of DNA were already activated. So not only is your soul design nicely anchored, your 13 strands of DNA are well underway as well. And they're braided into this, you know, your 12 strands of DNA are unified into the 13. So it's like a bundle. And that comes up, a way you can think of it, is up your central column of your spine. Much bigger than your spine. But that's where you visualize it being.
So these universal laws are helping us to see and know how to become extraordinary human beings. And I'm just so excited to be part of this.
Me too. Me too. And, you know, every time we do this, I mean, and I've been working with this for a while, but I learn so much that's an expansion of this.
Yes.
And so they're just bringing us along in this, you know, step by step by step.
Yes, indeed.
So
are we ready for a meditation? All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good one.
Oh, you're welcome. And the reason I spent a few minutes talking about our soul design is in the meditation. We're going to have a look at it. So let's begin by relaxing, by sinking into your chair or your car seat, your bed or the floor, wherever you are. Begin to breathe more slowly and relax. And let's breathe the beautiful gold of Sanat Kumara, our beautiful planetary logos, our ascended master from Venus, the planet of love as well. And Sanat Kumara is that brilliant gold, the gold that shines so brightly. And breathe in some gold, like the brilliance of a sunny day at high noon. And breathe it in through your nose and hold it. And exhale, and as you do, go down into your heart. And feel all your energy coming down from your crown and from the heart of one, down into your heart, and pulling up from Gaia through the soles of your feet, your ankles, your shins, your knees, your pelvis, pulling it up into your heart until once again we're in this wonderful, magical place of your heart, of the seat of your soul, of the place of where you really live. So let go of the week, of all the things that you have to do or that you haven't done, and know and trust that you're exactly where you need to be and that you're perfect. You're absolutely perfect. And relax and see that pinprick of light, of that blinding white light, the center of your heart, that portal to your heart, to your inner truth, to who you are, and feel yourself moving and flying towards that pinprick of light, and flying through. Stretch your wings and fly, and find yourself in the interior of your heart, in the inner chambers of your being, and see those walls of gold, and what you have written upon them eons ago. Your intent and your purpose, your dreams and your desires, your sole purpose for this lifetime, and what you wish to experience. And there are symbols. There is ancient writing in Sumerian and different languages, and it matters not because you understand it all. And breathe that gold, that joy, and feel that sense of peace at being home in your heart. And make your way to your beautiful chair or your cushion, and simply sit and allow yourself to be the being comes before the doing. And as you sit there, ask with your heart, with your mind, with your emotional being, ask to look at or to perceive or understand your soul design. And let it come to you as a holograph, dancing directly in front of you. For some, it will be a snowflake, or a spider web, or just looking at your light body. Or perhaps it's like a dream catcher. Just take a moment and look at the magnificence of your design. Let it come up. You can't pull it. Just ask and let it come. And maybe you'll feel it in your tummy, or your solar plexus, or your heart. Don't judge how it has to come to you. Just allow. And as you do so, look at part of your design that perhaps you haven't been aware of before. A quadrant of your being. It's not that you need to do anything with it. It's just to be aware of it and to revel in the beauty. Now go deeper into your heart and breathe. And think of, feel, something in your life for this part. Let's think of our physicality. Something in your life, in your physical situation, that you would like to activate. So perhaps it's greater stamina, the healing of some organs, the elimination of a disease, or a condition, including depression or anxiety, or addiction, alcoholism, tobacco. Something that you would like to change or shift. Maybe you want to be thinner, or you want your hair to be fuller. And look at your design and see if what you are thinking of, where it is on that design. Now understand, your design, your snowflake, your dream catcher, your light body, is perfect. when you were birthed from the heart of the Mother, Father, one. There was no such thing as imperfection. So this design represents the perfection of your being, and it is already within you. Now you may think, well, perhaps I made a soul agreement to be disabled or have difficulty with my heart or my breathing, my emotional field. But if your desire is in fact to shift that, to remedy that, then that is your soul design informing you that it is time and you have permission to change that. You would not have the desire to shift in this sense of purity of where you are right now if it was not for your highest good and additionally your guides, your guardian angels, Sanat Kumara, and the entire Council of Love is not going to allow you to go awry. So now I want you to bring your attention to what we call your central column. That's from your tailbone, as if it is a cylinder around your spine, an etheric golden cylinder up through your crown. And in this cylinder is all your information, all your design. And in some ways, it looks like bundles of wires for massive computers. Go ahead and look. But then you also see on this bundle that there are many DNA markers. And there are DNA markers that pertain to your physicality, to your emotional health, to your spiritual abilities, the activation of capacities and talents. So look at the markers just like little mailbox flags that are already raised and that have been serving you phenomenally throughout this lifetime. Now let us go to the area where you have decided there is something that you wish to activate. Perhaps it's the ability to play the piano or to breathe clearly or to maintain joy without anxiety. Self-worth, the ability to be in community, all of this is contained within your DNA and your design. So look down, starting at the top of your spine, and look down, and then look up, and see where those markers are located, and there could easily be several. because this is complex. And with Sanat Kumara, let us invoke not only the law, but the permission of instantaneous transmission. And now, go ahead and lift up those markers as if you are putting up a signal that there's mail to be picked up. Little flags, lift them up now. And allow this activation to take place. Now come back into your heart. Allow, leaving those markers up and allowing the activation . Now bring your heart to still point and give thanks. Greetings, I am Sanat Kumara.
Welcome.
And yes, congratulations. As you go forward in this law of instantaneous transmission and transformation and the activation by conscious choice of what you choose to experience and what you choose to bring forth, in this journey of light and love and transformation, not only of your sacred self, because, dear heart, the ripple effect, the domino effect, is for the entire planet and far beyond. Each of you, regardless of how realized, aware, and awake you are, have desires with regards to the expansion of your sacred self. And there is an entire list, the recognition of your interdimensional self, the activation of your ascension flag, the activation of perfect health, the activation of balance in all realms, mental and emotional, spiritual, physical. All of these, my beloved ones, are at your fingertips. And I come this day not particularly to teach, perhaps to guide, but particularly to simply say, you are ready. You have been ready for some time. But we revisit this and bring it to your cognizant attention right now, because you know you are ready. You do not question any longer your capacity and ability to create in accordance with divine plan and with universal law. We would not be having this conversation, because that is what it is, if you were not ready to fully engage and to be confident enough in your own discernment that you are ready and capable of doing this in tandem with all of us. There are many activations that are being sent and given and gifted to you, particularly directly from the heart of the mother at this time. And that is creating a smoothness, an expansion that allows even greater facilitation with these activations that you are selecting and that you are bringing forth. Sweet angel, if you have asked for long red hair and you currently have short black hair and it is not for your highest good, I will not permit it. I will act as the referee here. But what I suggest to you and what I see in each and every one of you is that your desires of activation are far more sophisticated, complex, and of love. So very little has to do with hair or height, but they do have to do with well-being and perfect health and serenity. And these, dear heart, are not only part of your soul design, but your birthright, and part of the collective DNA as well. Many of you, as you have come forward and chosen to be part of the old third, have allowed certain disabilities of one sort or another. And you have done so to assist in the breaking of those false paradigms and illusions, those false grids. So part of what you are doing right now with me this day and from here on in is declaring that those false grids no longer exist, and as you are beings of the fifth, sixth, and seventh reality, you are free to reactivate the perfection of who you are. And in so doing, what you are also declaring is that those rules, those restrictions, those shackles of the old third no longer exist. You are declaring your freedom as a creator in a very personal an individual way. And it is important, your participation in this and in the application of this law is key. So there are activations collective that have taken place and will continue to take place. But primarily in this situation, particularly of shift and ascension, you are learning and you are using this particular law. It is not like the law of transmutation, where you are peeling away, scrubbing, cleaning up, and finding the treasure that is buried underneath the debris. In this law, what you are doing is you are activating what has been present always but not turned on. So you are throwing the switch. And not only are you capable of doing this, you are encouraged, invited to do this. And not only by me, dear hearts, but by the Divine Mother herself. For she wishes to see you in the fullness of your design. Now, as you begin this undertaking, we are not suggesting to you that you turn on everything at once. First, because we want you to experience and understand the law, but also we do not wish for you or we to overload your circuits. So one at a time, one a day, one a week. But what you will find with each activation, there is a triggering of other activations. So it is simultaneous as well. So although you may feel that you are turning on one switch, one aspect, you will see that there is also a domino effect, and you will begin to feel better, look better, create more clearly, have greater clarity in your mental body, which has already been expanded. So what are you truly turning on in conjunction with the Mother's latest blessing? You are turning on not only the capacity that you have come with, you are acting in an expression, greater love for your sacred self. All of this is of one. These events, these laws, they are individuated simply for purposes of explanation so that you gain the understanding. But it is a unified grid, my friends, just as your design is a unified grid. So let us begin together. Do you have questions for me, sweet Suzanne?
I do indeed, Raj. If I may take a detour to last week really quickly, I first want to thank you for sharing all that you have on these universal laws, particularly the law of transmutation. I've used it to great effect, and I'm wondering if invoking that law can also lead to a stirring up of especially deep issues and an acute awareness of the debris, and not necessarily always a clearing of it first. I'm not sure, because I think I may have witnessed both.
Absolutely. Do not forget, yes, we have talked about the buried treasure.
Right.
Beneath the barnacles and the debris, the mud and the sludge.
Yes.
But dear heart, who do you think created the mud and the sludge? So it is acknowledging individually that you have contributed to the mud and the sludge, the barnacles and debris, but also the third dimension, everything that happened in the building up and the buying into those illusions were a collective creation as well as an individual creation. It wasn't simply you saying, now I will create this drama or this illusion. It was supported, and in some cases it came to you because it was a collective belief, and in sometimes you contributed to the collective belief. So yes, when you are working with the law of transmutation, you are not simply digging and bringing out the buried treasure and polishing that gemstone. What you are also doing is cleaning up the sludge. So you are absolutely correct.
All right.
So you are loving and transmuting the sludge as you work your way to the buried treasure.
Yes, 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 yes. All right, good. All right, thank you for that. All right, so on to this one. I'm trying to understand where humanity is going in terms of our abilities and why our human form is so important. As I understand it, ascended masters can take any form they like, and then until now, ascending with the physical body intact has not been available. I do see the benefit of having physical vessels here on Earth in order to be anchors and portals for divine energies. But once we reach a certain saturation point, I'm wondering what's next for us. Does that
make sense?
Will
be a choice. What you are doing in this ascension process, is it truly is a return in many ways to the original plan of the mother. Now, the original plan is not simply the journey that you are taking back to the light or the source, as it were. It is also you understanding that you have a choice to be in and out of form. But you don't realize that until you've maintained your form. And one of the things that has happened, particularly with all the illusions of the third, is that as a collective, you basically say, I can't wait to get out of here. And you create great scenarios and dramas in order to do that and to accomplish that. And it includes death and disease and destruction. When the mother asked Gaia, this mighty archangel, to assume a different form, she did so without hesitation. And one of the reasons was that the mother was creating, think of it as a playground, an amusement park, for her angels to play, to have an experience of various, not simply human, but various forms of physicality, other than the what you think of as the energetic form and design and imprint of the angelic realm, regardless of which realm you belong to, whether it is seraphim or angel or guardian angel, it matters not. It was for her beings to have a place to play. That was lost. And it was also lost through the exercise of free will. Free will not ever be removed. And we have spoken, the archangels, particularly Michael and Gabriel, have spoken about how they have free will, which is surprising to some human beings. We have, the ascended masters, myself, I have free will. The point of the journey and what was lost is that choice is always the choice of the alignment and the experience of love, mm-hmm. of being in full connection with the divine. Because to be out of alignment, even in the slightest, with that love is inconceivable, but also painful in every sense of the word. So that was the plan. And then the dross and the illusion and the debris, the sludge, the barnacles of human choice as they drifted further and further away. That sense of flexibility, of being in and out of form in the blink of an eye by choice, by the exercise of free will, was lost. So that, in the ascension, and ascension to the higher dimensions, is what is being restored. So what happens when you reach that point? You float in and out of form at will.
Mm.
So that is where you are headed. But if you did not have a form, you would not be able to be making those free will choices.
Mm-hmm.
So first you are learning to be in the alignment and in the joy and in the rapture, in the best sense of the word, by being in form, by being in alignment, and then you will have that ultimate choice.
All right. So that brings up the idea that there's actually limitations to being without form.
Well, we have a form. It is just not what you think of as a human form.
Okay. All right. I am starting to understand that, because in meditation a couple days ago, I I've seen them before, but I just started really feeling what they are. Colored circles up in the air, I could say that they are orbs, but I just really got the other day that they're actually beings, and there was such an immense amount of love going back and forth between us that it brings tears to my eyes when I'm out there and feeling it. And it just tells me that we humans have expectations on what it's going to be like when we meet our galactic brethren and those formless ones, and it's just very exciting to me that I'm starting to see that. So,
and what you are seeing in those orbs, particularly when you see them with designs in them,
mm-hmm.
is what you are seeing is in fact the soul design. It is the energy pattern of that being.
Oh.
So you are really seeing the truth. Their orbs have been not fully understood to date. So when you are seeing these orbs, you are seeing the being.
Yes. Yes.
And it is truly sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So can we then assume a form and morph into whatever form? And because the human beings tend to have this residual of fear still, we will often morph into a humanoid form.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, when you are looking truly even at one another, and that is why we have spent some time and prodded the channel this day to talk about the soul design. What you are seeing is the truth and the totality of the being. So yes, dear heart, love your orbs.
Oh, my God.
Because they are beings. They are the fullness of a being.
Yes. And they morph into rainbow colors, and it's just wonderful. Okay, so we have some callers lined up. I have one more thing. If you could, all right, I've heard spoken many of the desires that people have around changes they long for in their bodies. And I have my own, and I was hoping you could offer a practical use of this law, just like with the law of transmutation, you gave us this beautiful exercise. Is there a simplified one that you can offer us to make those changes within ourselves?
Yes, and that is why I have used the symbology of the mailbox flags.
Okay.
Because it is something that everybody is familiar with. But we understand that in many countries there is no such thing as a mailbox flag, particularly on the plains of Africa. But think, all of you do have the symbol in one way or the other, the concept of a flag, whether it is a prayer flag or the hoisting of a flag, of a piece of cloth that is representative. But you could just as easily use a button or a key. So this is what we wish you to do when you are working with this law. See yourself sitting down. It is best to sit rather than lie. And then see yourself standing back towards yourself, so you are facing your back and you are facing your central column, which is the cylinder around your spine, which is where your etheric and your actual DNA is located. You think of an aspect that you wish to activate in your beautiful, unique design. And understand, this law in particular, eventually we will teach you how to do this with others, but that is not where we want you to start. There is enough work at home to be done.
No kidding.
So, you are looking, eyes opened, eyes closed, matters not. Some of you can put out your hands. So where we used to have you cup your hands with the law of transmutation, now we want you to put your hand, after you've decided what you wish to activate, put your hand, either hand, it matters not, out and scan the spine. And you will feel where that point of activation, whether it is a flag, a button, or a key, you will feel a slight tingling, primarily in the center of the palm of your hand. Your fingers may feel it as well, but definitely your high sign, as it were, is the center of the palm of your hand. So you can do this with me. So you run your hand down this column of the back of your spine, and you feel where those several flags, because most of what you are activating has several points of activation. So first you scan. Then, dear heart, go back down, not bottom up. You go back to the top, and you simply turn up the flag, push the button, turn the key, and go down, flip the flag, push the button, turn the key. There usually will be about three or four. Now, if you are working, for example, on the elimination of dis-ease, now, there may be many flags, and you may do this consecutively for several days. But keep at it, and you will know when it is done.
Okay.
Now, you may not feel it in that very moment, but because the flag, the DNA, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical DNA, has been activated for that perfection, not merely for the healing, but for the perfection, it may take a bit.
Okay.
But we are not talking years. We do not have years at the moment. We are talking days.
All right. Beautiful.
And you have seen how rapidly the law of transmutation works.
Yeah.
Well, this is even more. That is why we call it instantaneous.
Yes. Wonderful. I'm excited to practice that this week. All right. Are we ready for some callers?
Yes, we are.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. All right. So we are on to area code 604. Are you with us?
Hello?
Hello. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Linda and Suzanne and Sanat. It's Kathleen calling. I would like to thank you, Sanat, for speaking to us about all these laws. They are so helpful. And I actually have a question about currency. Are humans' love of money currency being that it is the currency of life? And I was wondering if you could give us a practical application of the law of instantaneous transmission to bring about personal financial abundance. Is this a flag that we can lift?
But you are not activating. Welcome, dear heart.
Welcome.
You are not activating an external flag that has yet to come. But understand, what you are activating is your design that allows for worthiness, for abundance, and for completion. You do have a love of currency. And let us be very clear that the universal law of currency is the currency of love. So that is the starting point. Now, what is it? When you look at your soul design, you know whether, and if you were looking at the collective soul design of humanity, particularly this group of close to 7 billion that are on planet at this moment, the collective design is not one of impoverishment. It never was. That was the illusion of the third. So what you are doing is activating the flag for receptivity, the openness of self-worth, and the ability to receive abundance. So you are going to have about 7 flags in this regard. So there is self-worth. There is receptivity. There is the ability to give and receive. There is the willingness to move forward, because what you are speaking of is bringing forth currency in a physical realm. But first, what you are establishing and recognizing is your own currency of love and your own deservingness, your own worth to experience, and to be able to create and play. So it is not born of neediness. What you are doing, and we have not talked about this, but Kathleen, you have activated this, therefore we will discuss it. There are certain flags that you are going to turn down. The male is gone. So turn down the flag of neediness. Turn down the flag of I am not worthy and turn up the flag of willingness to receive. Do you understand what I am saying?
Yes, thank you.
And in that way, you have created, you have raised the vibration to the frequency of the human beings. And therefore, you are holding the frequency for the collective of the willingness to receive. Now, I know many of you are listening very closely to this. We have spoken to you as the council of how you are doing the work through your field. When you activate this, you are committing yourself to also holding this for the collective, and you are communicating this, whether it is currency or perfect health or generosity. You are communicating this to the collective. So turn off the neediness, the panic, the fear. Will I receive? Will it be in time? Will I be able to pay my rent? And activate the truth of your soul design. Because the truth of your soul design, we will give you currency to play with, but the truth of your soul design is, dear hearts, you have the currency of love to create whatever you want.
Beautiful.
When you came forth as those angels inhabiting form, do you really think that the mother sent you to the kitchen? No. That devolved. And it was part of the human relearning experience. But when you wanted food, you have that experience, manna from heaven. The food was there, and it was tasty, and it was delicious, and it was instantaneous. So this is what you are returning to. You have come from a culture, and listen to what I say, even as Ascended Master and Planetary Logos, you have come from a culture, regardless of which culture, that has admired and deified gurus. So you have had gurus who have been able to manifest instantaneously, and you have put them in a different category, and you have said, Master, teach me, or simply give to me. What I am saying to you is that you are your own guru. I do not wish to be your guru. Sananda does not wish to be your guru. Saint Germain does not wish to be your guru. You are your own guru. And in this, you have the capacity to instantaneously transform air into whatever you wish. So it is time to get going.
All right.
That's beautiful.
Thank you for calling.
I have actually one more thing. Could I? Is there time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. A quote from Linda's book jumped out at me, her new book, The New You. And the mother said, the keys to heaven are trust and forgiveness. The doorway is love. Open the doorway with your keys and step into your new life. And I think that's exactly what you just told us.
That is correct, dear heart. The wisdom and the laws, they do not change. Thank you for that observation.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
go with my love.
Thank you.
You're well.
All right, so we are on to area code 248. Are you with us?
Oh,
hello,
yes,
hello.
I am. Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Nina.
Hi.
Hi, Raj and everyone. I'm
welcome,
looking at the possibility
heart.
Of understanding our universal self And is the soul design that you refer to, is that the design of, and what relation is that to our universal self?
It is the depiction and the design of your universal self. So when you are looking and working with your soul design, you are working with your universal self.
Okay.
Is it
they are not different.
Oh, they're not different. Right. And we're learning to play with being and out of form, in and out of form. And that opens up a whole new world of being, doing, and, you know, reality.
You are learning right now, particularly. Now, think of this as a course that lasts a lifetime. And you are learning at this moment, particularly you, sweet angel, about being in form. Now, all of you have been tremendous, and you do not give yourself adequate recognition. You have all been very good at being out of form. And even while you still had the form, you drift in and out of your body continually, consciously and unconsciously. That is one of the reasons why we often say part of creation is the daydreaming. It is the dreaming. It is allowing the inspiration and the dream to anchor back in to the physical form. You are out of body at night as you travel with myself, with Archangel Gabriel, with Archangel Michael, with Yophael. You are out of your body a great deal. And most of you have been very happy and comfortable out of body, because the density of the old third was so heavy on your shoulders that you couldn't wait to slip away. Now, with the new dimensions, that weight is gone. And what we are asking you to do, what we are doing with you, is now you are experiencing the joy, the sweetness, the pleasure, the fun, the ecstasy of actually being in form. Not that you are trapped, but think of it as the scales. Now the scales are, particularly with me, are always in balance. But for right now, they are slightly more in favor of learning to be in form while you are doing all of this. Do you understand what I say to you?
Oh, yes. And I'm thinking also of the importance of anchoring in Gaia as we are playing with our forms.
It is absolutely necessary to drop your anchor, your cord, and to be connected firmly and completely with Gaia, because she will hold you in love and nurturing and in safety and security, so that you are in form even as you are drifting across the multiverse.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Julina, for your call.
Thank you.
Have a good
Farewell,
day.
Dear heart.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We are on to area code 206. Are you with us? Hello, hello? Good morning. Hello. Okay. Never mind. How about we will go to area code 520. Hello. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Suzanne. Good morning, Raj. Good morning, Linda. Hi, I just I had something special happen last Tuesday night. I spend a lot of time outside looking at the stars, And I'd never had anything like this happen before, but I had a vision while I was looking at the stars last Tuesday night. And while I was looking, I kind of felt my point of consciousness, I guess you would say, slip away from looking at the stars, and I had been thinking, just been thinking what it would be like. I read a lot of channelings, and I thought, you know, the veil feels very thin right now between our dimension and the higher dimensions. And I do healings, and I feel connected all the time with the higher dimensional beings, but I had never had a feeling like this before. I was looking out, and all of a sudden I felt like I was, instead of watching the stars, I felt like I was floating forward. And I started seeing off to either side sparkles of light, like when you're looking at a water, you see those sparkles, and they started forming globes of sparkling lights all around me. And as I was looking at those sparkles, I realized that each one of them represented an angelic being. And what I was feeling from them was just complete elation and joy and it was directed towards me and all of humanity. And as I kept floating forward, I realized that they were ecstatic because the vision that I was having was, it was telling me that we're there, we're right, if not on the verge, we're already there. And so after a couple minutes, I slowly slipped back out of the vision, and I was back watching the stars, and I tried to remember right away, okay, what did I just see? I got to go write this down so I don't forget it. What did I just see? And what was I just feeling? And so even though I had just had it, it was still kind of hard to remember exactly that same elation and feeling that I was have while I was involved in the vision. So I came back inside, and I wrote it down, and I showed my wife, and then I went back to the computer to read some more channelings, and the one I read was Fran Zepeda's one from Master Lando on glowing orbs of light. And I was like, oh my God, this is just like what I just saw. This feels kind of like a confirmation. And then about half an hour later, I went back with my wife, who was watching some Japanese animation she had got from her family down in Guatemala. And she was watching this animation about a young boy, and all of a sudden he's surrounded by these orbs of light and stars and stuff. And I was like, God, what are the odds that all three of those things just happened within less than an hour? And so the main thing about the vision was the joy at which all these sparkling lights, all these angels had about humanity. So I thought I would share that today and just see what Raj thought about that, and if you could add anything to it, or let me know if there's other significance that you would like to comment on about it. Thank you.
Beautiful.
And thank you, dear heart. And what you have done and what you have experienced was the illumination of that veil. It is not thin. It is non-existent. And it is only the belief system of humanity that it is still there. So what you slipped into, as you have said, was in fact the truth of what is. And that you are surrounded by beings of light. And particularly, you have been praying for healing. And you were surrounded by the healers of Trelawna. Those are those bright sparkling lights, those orbs that come to you as well. And they can come to you at any time. But it was triple confirmation so that you would know this is not your imagination. This is your answered prayer. And for you to also know, yes, the joy and the love that is felt on this side for you and for all of you, and that we are inviting you, we are begging you, participate constantly in that sense of overwhelming love and joy, because that is the truth of your natural state.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was confirmed and confirmed and confirmed again. And now you have confirmed it to all who are listening and who will listen. So for this, I thank you.
Oh, I just want to say thank you to all those angels out there, because it was the most real, fulfilling experience. And I kept, what's really strange about it is I keep trying to recreate that feeling, and I haven't been successful so far about recreating that feeling that I had while I was in that vision. And that's like the only vision I've ever had in my life. But I wanted to get back into that feeling, but I couldn't. And is there a way to, you know, maybe in meditation kind of get back into that
yes,
phase?
Yes, what you need to do is to relax. You can't force it. So go back outside. This is your milieu. Go back outside, relax. Allow, allow, allow. Gaze at your star friends, and then allow the veil to slip away. That is how you will recreate it.
Okay.
And I will help you.
Well, thanks, Anat. I know you will. Thank you.
Go with my love, dear heart.
Thank you for your call.
Very much.
Have a great day. All right, we have time for one more quickie, so I am going to area code 250. Are you with us?
Hello, this is Fern.
Hi,
thank
Fern.
You for
morning.
Hi. I feel 10 feet high when I listen to you, Samat Kumara. Thank you so much. You empower me and us so much. Thank you.
You are welcome, dear heart.
My question is, you talk about going into our heart. How can you help me how to bring my heart to this still point you're talking about, please?
Yes. And it is part of what we teach you in the book that we have channeled as well, The New You. It is of one of the meditations. Mm-hmm. But this is what you do. Think of it as if you are bringing, as if the energy from your head and your entire being, both from the bottom up and from the top down, is going down a drain. So that all the energy is draining and collecting in your heart. That is the first step. Then allow your breath, and you may practice this, allow your breath to slow. Count four in, hold for four, four out. Then do it eight. Until you are comfortable and your breathing is slowing, then simply say, I wish to go to stillness. If your heart and your heartbeat was a pendulum, simply stop the pendulum the same way you would reset a clock, an old-fashioned clock. Stop it and just be. Do not worry about breathing. We will not let you suffocate. Mm-hmm. Your body is constructed to start breathing when you need to. So just be in that place of stillness. It feels like the immense void of nothingness. But in truth, beloved, it is where everything is. So simply practice. Do not let fear or I can't do this, I don't know how to do this, interfere. In fact, turn down that flag and turn up the flag of still point.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay. You are so welcome. So is my love.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Farewell.
Okay, Raj, so for next week, first, thank you again immensely for all the information and the help that you offer us to become our true, wonderful, fabulous, divine, and galactic selves. What is next week going to be?
We are going to speak about the law of dispensation.
Mm.
This is a law that you invoke when you wish to let go of what has been in the past or perhaps even in the future. Mm-hmm. The most graphic example we have for you during this time is the law of karmic dispensation.
Ooh.
So yes, get ready to let go, dear hearts.
It sounds wonderful.
We don't ask you to simply create without letting go. So this can be your law of clearing.
Wonderful.
I will be here.
All right. Thank you so much.
Dear heart, you give me joy. Mm. All of you. Do you know, as planetary logos, how long I have waited to have this conversation?
Oh, my gosh.
Bless you.
I feel that. Thank you, thank you. It's wonderful.
Go with my love and go. Be flag wavers. Raise your flag, lower your flag, and play, dear hearts. I will coach you. You cannot go amiss.
All right.
Farewell.
Farewell. Thank you so much.
Hi, it's Linda.
Hi, Linda. We have a minute.
Well, I just get to come and say goodbye, don't I?
I'm sorry?
I just get to come and say goodbye.
Oh, yes, yes. But thank you so
yes.
much for the work you do. It's
oh,
it's
but this is amazing. For us to be walked through this step by step by step is just, what a gift.
It is. It's a gift and a huge honor, and it really makes me want to cry right now.
I tell you, we're given the tools to just, this is part of our ascension.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't have been in a position to fully implement or understand these laws, you know, years ago.
I do.
And even though we had the words, we didn't really fully understand what they meant. In some ways it felt like a foreign language. So,
that's right.
Yes,
love you.
Mountains shine above.